This is Fresh Air. I'm Neil Conan, sitting in for Terry Gross. A Mexican movie that was nominated for Best Foreign Film is now opening in theaters to wonderful reviews. Amores Perros takes off like a rocket. In the first scene, we see two young men in a car racing through the streets of Mexico City. There's a bleeding dog in the back seat, and they're being chased by thugs in a pickup truck.
Métele, cabrón! Métele, güey!
The car crash is the central event of Amores Perros. We will learn the stories of the people involved in the accident in three interconnected subplots that take us into some of the very different worlds that coexist in Mexico City. The actors, most of them unknown in this country, the script, and Mexico City itself are all revelations. But most of the excitement surrounding the film focuses on its 37-year-old director, Alejandro González Iñárritu. He joins us on the line from Mexico City. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much. How are you, Neil?
Very well. The title of your movie, Amores Perros, how does that translate?
Well, basically, it's supposed the first idea was like Love's a Beach. But I don't think there's a right, it's very hard to translate literally, but it will be something like tough loves or savage love or love as a dog, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Love that hurts. So it's a game of these two words. And obviously the dogs were used basically as metaphors of the main characters, I think.
Especially a dog named Kofi, who gets involved in dog fighting in the first sequence in the movie. I don't know where you found him, but what a tremendous canine actor!
Yeah, I think we got a good trainer, you know, and the actors really work a lot with the dogs. They train a lot. They feed them like two times a week. So we create a very big and strong relation between the actors and the animals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the movie in some way, because it's about a lot of things, but in some way it's about that. We try to really explore the nature of the dog that is very close to the nature of human beings and how intense and how close a relation between a man and a dog can be, you know?
This one dog, Kofi, is turned into a killer. He's put into the pit to fight against other dogs. Now, I know a lot of people have been upset by the dog fighting scenes, and I have to say that I was pretty relieved when at the end of the picture I did see the statement on the film that no animals were harmed in the making of the picture.
Yeah, I think it's not a movie about that, but it's only like 18 seconds of real explicit dogfight. That is one of the context of one of the stories of one of the characters. So it's a little piece, but obviously it's very high impact. I try to take out the superficial way of how Disney movies sometimes put the dogs like that you all immediately refer that they are playing. When we shoot this, we take care a lot. I love dogs. I have a dog. I treat maybe worse the actors than the animals. but what I can assure you is that any dog was harmed. You know, the dogs was treated very good. They were playing, and we put like kind of a little fish line, like invisible bustle, and they were playing. But with the handheld camera and the audio design, you swear that they are. And I was really trying to make the buildup of the scene very stressful for when this happens in front of the eyes of the audience, they jump like in an horror film, but the animals were really well treated, you know?
It's interesting, there's a lot of violence in your picture, but that most of the attention is focused on this very brief dogfighting sequence and not on the violence that happens to the people.
Yeah, I think it's not a violent movie. I think it's an intense movie. Mexico City is a 21 million city. People living here is an anthropological experiment, so it's very intense. So I think it's more violent to watch the news in the night or to read the newspapers, you know. I think it's basically a very entertaining film with three love stories with people that love and learn how to love. But I don't think it's the kind of violence, you know, that is used as entertainment. People that kill people and laugh and make a punchline and sleep with the most beautiful girl in the night. I think I try to really explore the violence in the way that I have lived in my own city. I have been victim of that, and I try to take out the frivolous part of the mm-hmm. violence. I think it's a violence with a consequence, but a very painful consequence in the human beings.
Mexico City is almost a character in this movie.
Well, if you notice, you never can recognize the city in the film. You know, I never use this kind of setup, kind of scenes when you can recognize some.
There's no picture postcard shots.
Exactly, but I think more than you can see the city. I think you can smell the city, and I was really obsessed about that. I think a good film should smell too. So I think the people really can recognize the city by the smell of the textures and the walls and the people. You know, that's what I was trying to get it. These stories can happen in any city in the world, you know.
And when did you come to the realization that the car crash was going to be the linchpin, the thing that held the film together?
Always. The car crash was always, you know, the image for us as the metaphor of the vulnerability or how fragile the human beings are. You know, an accident can happen to anybody, even to Lady D that died in a car crash, you know, to anybody, Mexicans, American, handsome, kings, servants. It's something that can happen and change the life for everybody. So that main point, the car crash, will be always was like in the center of this universe and was like a big bang that explodes and affects to all the planets, you know.
Alejandro González Iñárritu is on the line with us from Mexico City. We're talking about his movie, Amores Perros. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in Mexico City?
Yes, I have been living here all my life. 37 years I've been living here. And basically, I came from radio as a DJ in a radio station, rock and roll radio station. And then I became a creative director. I became a promoter and producer of rock concerts, big rock concerts, and then creative director, writing and directing ideas for TV commercials, and basically, and then I studied two years theater.
TV commercials, is that where you learn the craft that you've used now?
Exactly. I think the craft I learned in that, I think. You know, the TV commercial sometimes give you a lot of biases, bad things. But at the same time, if you are war, and I always use the advertising commercial as, you know, as rehearsals and exercises for going to feature films. So I always was training with that. So the ability to synthesize the stories is a very good exercise in the commercial, I think. And you learn a lot about the skills, lens, you know, techniques, you know, genres. So you can play a lot. You learn.
You said you started out with the idea of learning what you needed to do to make feature films. The Mexican film industry has been a sleepy place in recent years. For a long time, it was controlled by a government board, and you had to get permission to go make a movie.
Yeah, it was very hard to make films in Mexico the last, you know, the last 20 years, I think. The last 3 years, it's became better. There are more private investors. The audience, there are more theaters in the cities. The people are more, you know, the Mexican audience wants more Mexican films, you know. So it's been changing. It has been a little change, but it's not radical. I think it will take 5-10 years maybe to get an industry, you know. But it's getting better, I think, right now. Yeah, but it used to be very hard.
Is there an international Hispanic market? I mean, does Amores Perros translate perfectly and play well in Spain and Argentina?
Yeah, I think this film play well. Normally, it's not a rule. Normally, it's very hard that an Argentinian film or a Mexican film or a Spanish film play well in another countries, even when they speak Spanish. It's very hard. This movie make well. It's not a mainstream hit, you know, but well, made very well, a good box office, I think. And that's the only exit, the only way that we can gain and we can begin to make better films, I think, if we find a way to make a international Spanish market, I think. But it's happening, it's begin to happen, I think, but it's very hard because we are different cultures, you know. Even when we speak Spanish, we are very, very different people.
My guest is Alejandro González Iñárritu, the director of the new movie Amores Perros. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Now more with Mexican director Alejandro González Iñárritu. What is the origin of this passion that you have for making movies? Who were the people who influenced and inspired you?
I can tell you that basically the other day I was thinking that, and I think I was more inspired by musicians than from filmmakers. You know?
Really?
I can tell you that I'm more inspired in, you know, in Genesis, the rock band, the English rock band, in the beginning with Peter Gabriel and Jess and Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones and Pink Floyd and The Who. That kind of bands really, really create in myself a conscious of about, you know, because in the beginning of all these bands, they were playing music, but was more than music, was an attitude, a way of life, a concept. They play like, you know, these big albums that have a concept, a big story. So I always was really interested. And when I heard music, I always, you know, make stories in my mind. So that was the beginning of my real need to tell stories in image. But the music really, you know, was the beginning of everything, I think.
It's interesting because I reading the critics who wrote about your film, most of them loved it, but a lot of them made say, you know, here's about a Quentin Tarantino and here's a nod to Luis Buñuel.
It's very funny. Yeah, I don't know why the critics always has to refer a film to another film, you know. But I don't think I have nothing to do with Tarantino, you know. I think that the violence of Tarantino is used in a way that I hate that because it's entertaining violence. And I think it's a very frivolous, you know, it's frivolous, you know. I hate that kind of a statement that you can kill people and laugh. For me, that I have lived in a violent city, there's nothing to laugh about violence. So I cannot use that for entertain people in a very ironic, you know, way. And I think Tarantino is a very talented director, but the statement that he has with the violence, I cannot take. And I think that this film doesn't have to do nothing with Tarantino, you know. He doesn't invent the three stories in a film. It was used by Kurosawa in 51, you know, and in literature we were inspired in William Faulkner in The Sound and Fury. That is a novel that play with that fragmented time, you know. So I don't think there's a, I don't know, there's a something that can relate for me to that kind of films.
Now, you were a rock and roll disc jockey. Did that play a role in picking the music for this picture?
Yeah, I think the my mind. I'm a frustrated musician. I always want to make to be a musician. So I play the guitar. I have a rock band's group and everything. But I don't know. Suddenly the radio crossed my life and everything happens. But my way of thinking is always very musical, and I think the rhythm is something very important for a movie or for a novel or for anything. Rhythm. So I always think very musical. Well, so when I was directing with music, and the music that I take, some of the songs that I take for this film was very important when I was playing in the radio, you know, when I was a DJ.
What songs in particular, or what artists in particular, were important that you include in the movie?
Well, I think there's a great Mexican and Argentinians and Spanish band. Mexicans, there are Café Tacuba, that is a great, great, great Mexican rock band. Control Machete, that is another very classic and contemporary important rock Mexican band. Mm-hmm. I think the soundtrack is it's incredible because it's a double soundtrack. In some there's the score, and another songs that were composed after the film was done. So it's a good compilation of what is happening in the Spanish rock and roll, I think.
And there's also a bow to your old passions about English rock bands, the Hollies, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress.
Exactly. To tell you the truth, my idea when I was editing the film, I did that scene with Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Creedence Clearwater, yes.
Exactly. So I did a song with that, but the rights was really, really, really expensive. So at the end, I used the Hollies, which I like, but I prefer. And I was trying to use, you know, Jimi Hendrix, but was very expensive. So the Hollies was my last choice, to tell you the truth. But I like it. I think it has to do something with that era, with that context of this character, I think.
One of the amazing things about this picture is that for an American who's not familiar with any of these actors, it's almost like this film bursts onto the scene fully grown, like Athena coming from the head of Zeus. It's these very, very accomplished performers that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I try to use, you know, I think I try to use new actors. Mostly of the Mexican actors, they are not known in the United States, but even in Mexico, they are not well known. Emilio Echeverría, the Chivo, the Goat, is a very well known theater actor, and the guy Octavio is the first story. This young man that is an amazing actor is a theater actor. He was studying in England, and basically all of the actors are theater actors, which I love because they have a very incredible discipline. You know, discipline, you know, they have another techniques, I think.
But you went to the theater as opposed to using people who would have worked on television or people that you would have used in commercials.
Exactly. Some of them I have used in commercial. To the first guy, Octavio, I use in the commercial. And I fall in love with this guy. When I make a film with a young guy, I will make the film with this guy, you know. So, and some of them were playing and I went to the place and I respect them a lot. I really love actors. I think I it's one of my favorite things to make a film. You know, the best part of the trip is, you know, the shooting and to work with actors for me. I enjoy a lot that.
That's the most fun?
For me, yes. Yeah, for me, shooting the film is the most fun, you know, because, you know, when you are dreaming and you are developing and you are writing, you are, you know, it's a little anxious. But when you already have the idea and you begin to put that in a set, you have a camera and two actors that really put the spirit and the flesh in what their little lyrics are saying, it's amazing. It's like magic. That's what this film's about, you know, it's magic. People with real feelings, you know, it's something magical. I really love that part of the process, I think.
Later on in the production process, I understand that you also had some help. Some colleagues who also work in the Mexican film business came in to work on the film with you.
Yeah, I think in the editing process, when I was like 6 months in my home editing, trying to put, so I have my first cut and I knew that I had to take out like 10, 15, I don't know, more minutes, but I didn't know where. So
excruciating those last cuts.
Exactly. So Guillermo del Toro, who direct Mimic, and which is direct Blade 2 right now in Czechoslovakia, is a Mexican director. He's a friend of mine. So he came to my house and, well, I meet him by telephone and I didn't meet him by, you know, personally. So he arrived. He's a fat guy. He's a very funny, talented fat guy that arrived to my home, stayed 3 days, eat all my refrigerator. We laugh a lot. We discuss a lot. We work a lot without sleep 3 days. And he helped me really to find out where these 10 minutes should go out. So I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, and when we were developing the script, you know, I have some reading with some another directors as Alfonso Cuarón, who directed Little Princess and Great Expectations. And he helped me a lot to find, you know, some mistakes in the script and some, you know. So that's a very good process, I think. I think was very helpful to find your, you know, your friends, directors that you admire, that helps you in little details that really change all the things, I think.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on another story with the same screenwriter of Amores Perros that is called Guillermo Arriaga. We are writing, we are developing, we have like 1 year and a half developing this script. We have the first draft of a script that is called 21 Grams.
It's not a drug picture, is it?
No. No. It's 21 grams is the weight of the soul. When you die, when everybody dies, immediately you lose 21 grams. So it's the weight of life, you know, in some way. So it's, again, like it's a very painful story, but at the same time it has a lot of hope, a lot of humanity. I'm interested in as an Amores Perros, you know, real stories, weak characters that really, you know, that really can learn a lot through a painful process and be better at the end, you know. I don't like hard and strong characters that can kill people and smile. And, you know, I cannot relate with that kind of people. I relate with weak people. I feel that I'm weak as a human being. I'm vulnerable. So I like those characters. So this story is about that, how fragile we are, but there's a lot of hope at the end. And it's about that. I'm working on that. And I'm reading some stuff, too, I think.
Well, all we can do is wish you the best of luck.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you for the interest. And I'm glad that you like Amores Perros.
Alejandro González Iñárritu, Amores Perros, is playing in theaters around the country. I'm Neil Conan. This is Fresh Air.